If you haven't taken one, please take one of our prayer cards, and there's a brochure there on the ministry, and we call it the holy brochure. You say, why is that? Well, if you open it up, you'll see it's got a hole in the front. That was my sister-in-law's, Laura's idea. So anyway, she's going to do something different and special, so that's why it's got the front cut out. But anyway, it's a holy brochure, so, you know, but please take one and read it. But anyway, it's good to be here and good to connect with Derek again and family and with Holly. Come back on a trip. Yeah, you too. So we'll look forward to that. And anyone else that would be interested, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes, you know, we're wondering, is there anybody going to be interested in this particular trip? We're going to, you know, we just pray about it, say, Lord, in fact, it's one of my biggest prayer requests, and, you know, I fast and pray over it. I say, Lord, give us the right people for this place at this time. Because we don't want, you know, the devil would love to put somebody in there or something that could cause a problem or whatever, whether on purpose or whether it's just something to do with health or with whatever that could really disrupt the whole campaign. And so we pray and pray and say, Lord, you know, put these people together. And it has been amazing because we had, one year we had people from 7 states and 4 different countries. We had one lady from Venezuela, a couple from Canada, from the United States, one from Mexico, that were on a campaign. And you say, well, you know, that's an international nightmare. You know, I mean, well, no, it wasn't. You know, by the time they left, after being together for 2 weeks doing what we did, everybody was crying on each other's shoulders and, oh, we don't want to go and we don't. So we all give testimonies at the end. And so my testimony was I got up and I said, okay, all right, everybody's crying and it's all sad. I said, we have a rule in Couriers for Christ. You don't have to go home. You know, you can just stay here. Just stay. And they all look like, what? And I said, well, you know, it seems like nobody wants to go home, you know. But it is amazing. When you're doing something like that, you're doing the Lord's work, you bond together, you just have this. It's hard to explain. And that is the reason why a lot of people, I would say probably 80% of them, would love to go back on another trip again if they could do it, either, you know, because of their job situation they can't or whatever. But we've had many of them. We've had several men who've gone back 5 or 6 trips they've made over the years. Two of our ladies from our church, Judy Davies, is a widow lady. She's about 62 years old, 63, and she said, well, I don't know if I could do that. You know, she's a real soul winner. She loves the Lord. She made a trip, and now she's gone 3 years in a row. This last year, she's gone now to Lithuania, and now she's going to Prague. I said, Judy, you're going to do 2 in 1 year? Well, I just have to, she said, because, there's something about it. I just love it, serving the Lord that way. And then she talked Nancy Zilke. Now, Nancy Zilke is supposed to have a hip replacement. And she's a widow lady also, and she didn't want to go. Well, she finally made a trip. Now she's made, this will be her third trip going to Prague in the fall. And I said, Nancy, you know, are you sure you want to go? I mean, your hip, you know, well, it bothers me a little, but it's okay. I'll be fine. And so she's just thrilled to make this trip. So we just praise the Lord. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, spirit we've had, and we've enjoyed that. It's been a real blessing, and we'd love to have you take part of that if you could. So Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, the first couple of verses are very, very telling testimony of the Christian life. It says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, I don't know about you, I'm old enough, I'm not, you know, like to say, are you over the hill? Well, I can see down the other side of the hill. You know, that's right. But anyway, I remember the days of being a kid and being in school, back in the old days when discipline was, you know, discipline, and you had a report card, and you had to, you know, your teacher, the ultimate authoritative blow that you just didn't ever want to hear is, this is going to go on your permanent record. You know, how many of you have heard that in your school days? Okay, this is going to go on your permanent record. So your report card gave your grades, how you're doing academically, you know, history, math, science, whatever it was. And then also on the back, when you turned it over, it had on there, does not play well with others, or doesn't work well with others, doesn't complete work, or is doing better this semester than last semester and all that. But you know, you think about that, and of course now we kind of smile, but there's a lot of truth to that. You know, there's a report on your life and how well you're doing. And the Bible says here that by faith the elders obtained a good report. Now, a good report from who? Well, from God. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we are on the record, like they say on Fox News, you know, you're on the record. And whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, the Bible says, Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's an awesome thing. The words that come out of your mouth, the things that you say, the reason why you said them, the motives you had will all be judged on that day by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, I don't know about you, but in my Christian walk with the Lord over the years, that has really been a sobering thought to me. What is it in life that I look out to the future and say, this is what I'm hoping for? What goal do I have as a Christian? What do I hope to accomplish that when the report card is made out, this will be on the report? And you look at that and, you know, the word faith has been so smeared and kind of pushed around and used in a light sort of a way. Faith is meant what you believe or what you think about something. It goes way, way beyond that and what the Bible is talking about here. Biblical faith is looking to God to do something for you that you have looked to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want my life to be a waste. I want my life to count for something. And I'm trusting you to help me to make this happen. You see, when you got saved, you looked to the Lord and you said, Lord, I'm simply trusting your word. I want you to save me. When I die, I want you to take me to heaven. And God says, if you believe that Christ died and shed his blood for your sins and arose again, and you've accepted that fact, and you believe that your sins are erased because of that salvation, you're going to go to heaven. That faith will save your soul. But then after you get saved, then you've got to start in looking at your life and saying, now I've got to have some working for God faith. I have to let the Lord use my life. Then you have to start trusting the Lord. Well, I've got brothers and sisters. I've got a dad or a mom. I've got neighbors. I've got friends that are lost. You've got to say, Lord, help me to have faith enough to believe that you're going to use me to be able to witness to them and see some of them saved. And you've got to trust the Lord for the strength to do that. You can't do that on your own. If we try to do it on our own, we're going to fail. But if we step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm hoping for you, I'm looking for you to come into my life and use me to do something that's going to be worthwhile, that'll be a good report for me when my life is over. You know, the Bible goes down through you. This is called the Faith Hall of Fame, this Hebrews chapter 11. And as you begin to read it, you know, you look at the characters there, the people that were there, and each one had a different life story. Each one had a different circumstance, a different time in history. But they all had to believe God, and they all had to trust God. And you go down here in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was warned of God that there's going to be a judgment on this world, and I want you to build a boat and save the human race. And Noah believed God, and of course we know the rest of the story. What if Noah had not believed God? You know, the human race was in a bad way. Thank God for Noah for his godly attitude toward what the Lord told him to do. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, how would you like to tell your family, you've got your wife Sarah, and you've got all your children, and you've got their homes are all established, and you're in the land, you've got riches, you've got cattle, you've got sheep, you've got everything that you could want. And one day you get up in the morning and you say, I've got to have a family meeting. And you call them all together and you say, I've got news for you. God spoke to me in the night. Well, what did he tell you? Well, God told us we're going to move. And then they say, where? And you say, I don't know. And we're going to, you're just going to, okay, so start packing everything up. Pack everything up. We're going to leave our homes. We're going to leave the land we love, and we're just going to go. Well, where are we going to go? I don't know, but God told me we're just going to go. So when it's time to go, God will say, well, I want you to go east or west or north or south, whatever it is, and we'll do it. You see, that's not easy to do. Sometimes when young people are called, when they pray, they come to the altar, they give their life to the Lord, and that what they really want, what they're really saying is, I wish I had a roadmap. You know, I wish God would say, okay, next 3 years you go to Bible college, then you'll have one extended year on, you know, postgraduate studies. Then after that, you're going to do this. Then after that, you're going to do that. And have the whole thing mapped out. He said, okay, now I can do that. I can figure out how I'm going to go from one step to the other. Listen, that is not the Christian life. That is not the Christian life. God gives no roadmaps to anybody. You know why? Because he wants you to trust him by faith. You're saying, Lord, I don't know what the step is. And the Apostle Paul said we go from faith to faith. You see, every campaign that we do, every time that, you know, this is our ministry, this is what we're faced with, is we have to say, I have to get up in front of people and say, we're going to go to Tallinn, Estonia, and it's going to be great, and people are going to be saved, and we're going to see a church started, perhaps, and a lot of good things are going to happen. Well, I don't know if that's the way it's going to be. I mean, I don't. All the campaigns we've had have been a great blessing. It's been wonderful. But it's a leap of faith. It's a step of faith. I just have to say, Lord, I know you want us to do this, but we're just looking to you and saying, if you don't make us look bad, we're going to go under. You don't make us look good, we're going to go under if we look bad. And so we have to place our whole trust in the Lord for what he's told us to do. Now, your life's different. My life, I don't know what your circumstance is or what you do. Perhaps you got to teach Sunday school. Maybe you got some kid in Sunday school and you say, I can't reach that kid. I just can't. He's just absolutely incorrigible. And you've got to come before the Lord and beg and pray and say, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to reach this child. I don't know what to do. But it takes faith. It takes trust no matter what. Maybe you've got a health problem. You know, my brother's wife, Laura, or her dad now is 85 years old, I think. And not too long ago, he said, getting old is not for wimps. You know, getting old is not for wimps. What's he saying? When you get old, you have problems. And you have to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't understand why I've got this problem that I've got, but I'm turning it over to you. I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to have to help me through this. In a lot of ways, I think that's the latest, greatest test of our faith when we get to that age and we have to go. We had a man recently in our church that died. Jeff Brayton had cancer for 10 years. And one day at prayer meeting about 6 months ago, he said, it's not the dying that I'm so concerned about. He said, it's going through the valley that he said, I really need prayer that God will give me the faith. Well, he did a champion job of it. I mean, he never complained. He never said anything, you know, derogatory about what God was doing in his life. He accepted it at the hand of the Lord, and he passed on into glory. Well, listen, that's a step of faith. It takes faith to believe that God is doing the right thing when you end up with cancer or you end up with heart problems or something else. Everyone's walk requires faith to trust that God is doing what God needs to do in my life. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We as Americans have a harder time with that, a stranger and a pilgrim. We get pretty settled down into our lifestyle, and we don't like to think about being disrupted. But the men and women of God in the Old Testament, all through the ages, have many times had a lot of disruption in their life as they had their walk. So faith, Bible faith, is really, somebody described it this way, and I think it's, you know, if you forget everything else I said, you could probably remember this, and it really struck me when I heard it. Faith is walking into the face of what you fear. Did you ever think about that? When I first got into careers ministry, I surrendered to every other ministry. I surrendered to go to Africa. I surrendered to go to Australia. I even talked with a missionary from Australia. I would go to Australia. I talked about pastoring in the Northwest. I surrendered to everything except making a trip with my brother Don to Europe. I didn't want to do it. You say, why not? Because they had guards over there, guard dogs, guns, searchlights, border crossing, smuggling. I didn't want any part of it. And so I said, I just don't want to. And they said, would you make a trip with me? And I'm going. And so finally, I agreed to make a trip. And I said, Lord, you know, if they shoot at me, let them shoot straight, you know, so that I die quick. I want to suffer and groan and be, you know, in misery in some jail somewhere. You know, and all these things, all these imaginations in my mind. But Bible faith looks at the face of what you fear and you say, God, I'll do it if you want me to do it. And that takes a step. That takes a leap of faith. And so I got a passport and I got ready and everything else and I went to Eastern Europe. And when I was in Europe, it was a miracle how it all came together. But when I was in Europe and I was in Poland and in a little church there in southern Poland, and I was picking up my Bible off the pew and the Lord spoke to my heart. You know, no voice or nothing, but it was just a thought that just came rock solid across my heart. And he said, can you go home and forget what you've seen here? And it was like, so I went back home and the pastor asked me, how did it go when you went to Europe? What was your trip like? And I told him, but one thing I didn't want to tell him is why. And so finally he says, well, what do you think the Lord's, you know, how do you think he's leading you? And he said, well, I said, the Lord did give me one impression. And he said, what's that? And I said, he said, can you go home and forget what you've seen here? And he looked at me and he said, I think God wants you to work with your brother. I mean, he knew how the Lord spoke, you know, to him and to others. And so I had to start doing. But that was 4 years before communism fell. And God knew that I hated all of that and I couldn't stand, you know, I just didn't want to do this. But God knew that 1989, that was in 1984, that these countries were going to open up. We wouldn't have to worry about that anymore. That was not a question. But I couldn't see that. I didn't know that. So my fear was ungrounded. God said, if you'll trust me, I'll take care of that as time goes by. And he did. And we've had a wonderful time. We've had a glorious time in Eastern Europe. You say, well, has it been all fun and games? No. I mean, we've had some pretty serious problems and this and that. But God gives so many blessings along the way. You know, get to visit the Thomases in Lithuania and see their church. And, you know, there's just so many things, so many blessings over the years. But if you'll walk by faith, you'll find out that God will bless your faith in a very special way. And you alone will be able to see that when it happens. And you'll understand it when it does happen. I was in Yugoslavia the first time. And I was all concerned about being there, 1984. And we went to a little village in Yugoslavia. And my grandmother was a German, and she used to make a kind of a soup with homemade noodles and homemade meatballs in it that were like breaded meat. And the soup was a special soup. Well, she died back 20 years ago. And I've never had that soup after that for probably 7 or 8 years after she died. And this little grandma that looked like she could have been a sister of my grandma, did not speak my language. She came and sat down a bowl of that same kind of soup in front of me. And I almost burst out weeping uncontrollably because God was saying to me, I know who you are, I know where you are, I know what you like, and I can provide a table for you even in the wilderness where you think, you know, you don't think I see, I know every detail about what's going through your mind and through your heart, so don't worry about it, it's okay. And so, like I said, God alone, God knew that, I knew that, nobody else knew that. Nobody else knew that that was special to me. And he spoke to me in a very special way with his very own signature on that trip. So if you'll do what God wants you to do, he'll speak to you in ways you never could imagine. And then, last of all, you know, walking into the face of what we fear. None of us have had to be martyrs. None of us have had to face the stake. We've never been threatened with being burned to death. If you want, there's... They were talking about Baptists before. There's books put out, big, thick books. There's three of them called A Day in Baptist History. I don't know if you've seen that. Put out by Cummings, I believe it is. And Bob Jones Press, I think, printed those books. But every day, it's got every day of the year. You can go, you know, July, you know, whatever day it is. And there's a little short story in there about a Christian that was a Baptist and what happened to them. And many of them were martyred and all the rest of it. But if you haven't got those books, you should get those books and read them, because it just adds on to Hebrews chapter 11 in a great way and shows you all these people that went on before and how they lived by faith and died by faith. And down here in verse 36 of this chapter, it says, and others, now I don't know if you'd want to be in the others crowd of Christians. Why? It said, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. So these all died having received a good report through faith. Listen, I'm glad. I don't know about you. Someone said this once, and it really struck me. They said, have you ever prayed to be a martyr? Think about that. Pray and say, God, I want a special martyr's crown, you know, when I get to heaven, so that I can cast this crown at your feet. So let me be a martyr. I haven't prayed that. Have you prayed that? You know, I'm challenging you tonight. You can be a martyr if you want to be. Would God arrange that circumstance? I don't know. But all I'm saying is others had that kind of faith that said, no matter what happens to me physically, no matter what happens, no matter where I am, I'm going to serve God, even if it means my death, under the worst of circumstances. I want to live by faith. I want to receive a good report card. I want my name to be among those that they can say, you know, this man lived his life trusting God. He trusted God all the way to the end. You know, I'm old enough now, and I'm starting to look down. I'm saying, well, how am I going to die? Am I going to get cancer? Am I going to get leukemia? Am I going to have a car accident? Am I going to, I don't know. But I say, Lord, trust, help me to trust you in all that circumstance and not to worry about it. Sometimes I run across Christians that worry. I was in Montana a couple years ago, and a lady was walking up the church steps with her two little kids, and she said something about the government that we have now in Washington, and she said, I am scared to death for my two sons. And I looked at her and I said, that's the problem. And she said, well, what do you mean? And I said, the fact that you are scared to death. I said, you should say, I am trusting God with all my heart that God will do something special for my sons. And she looked at me and she said, I never thought of it that way. And I said, you know what? I said, I wouldn't have thought of this so much either, but I said, I was in Romania right after Romania fell in 1989. Christmas Day, Ceausescu was killed together with his wife, executed. And the reason why that all happened is the Romanians were taught by some missionaries that they were living under the terror of fear. Fear was being a horrible master. And they began to confess in Timișoara at a prayer meeting that that was a sin that they had that they needed to confess. And as they began to do that, Tom Ross worked with us. He was from Ireland, and he was in Romania at this time. That's why I can speak with authority about it. He saw it all happen. And he said the people in Timișoara began to lose their fear. He said it was amazing to watch. They began to say, if the Securitate shoots anybody, let them shoot me. I don't care. And he was thinking, well, I never heard that kind of talk before. Everybody was scared to death of the secret police. And he said on the day when Christmas Day, when Ceausescu gave his speech off the top of the building, he said, you'll notice him up there, and there are thousands of people in the streets. And he said, what happened is many of the men ran out in the street, and the Securitate was trying to control them, and they tore their shirts open, and they said, shoot me right here. Shoot me right here. And the Securitate threw their guns down and said, we're not shooting anybody. And the fear began to go onto the government rather than onto the people. And Ceausescu was up there like this, talking to his watch, because it's actually a telephone. And he called in the helicopter, and the helicopter took him off the building and off into another city. Well, they chased him down. They caught him. They had a kangaroo court, and they executed him in less than 3 hours. What happened? The people started trusting God, and they had a prayer meeting, and they said, Lord, we want to fear you. We don't want to fear other things. I'm asking you today, are you walking into the face of what you fear, trusting God and saying, Lord, we don't know what we're going to do. Neither, like David said, neither know we what to do, but we're trusting you no matter what the circumstance. Or are we like the lady going up the steps with her two kids and saying, I am scared to death of what's happening in our world. It's terrorizing me. I'm frozen with fear. Well, that's what happened to Romania. And look what happened to him. Went into this terrible thing of communist. America can go into that if America doesn't wake up and say, we're going to start trusting God. Just look at your coin. That's all you got to do. In God we trust. Do we trust in God? Or are we, succumbing to the pressure of the fears around about us? Let's all stand tonight, and I'll have a prayer. You say, I hope I'm walking by faith the best that I can. I'm trusting God with my life. But maybe there's someone, there's this is a subtle thing. Sometimes it happens to us and we're not even so much aware that it's happening, that we begin to walk with fear and not trusting God with the circumstances. It's a tough thing. It's a day-by-day thing. It's a walk. We walk by faith. Why? Because it's just one step at a time. I'll pray, and then, brother, you can come and close out service as you see fit. Let's pray.